Good morning. Good morning. Are we excited about Jesus? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Are we excited about Jesus? The one who woke us up this morning, the one who started us on our way. Can we stand this morning as we worship God? God is so good. The love of God is a love that never fails us. It never disappoints us. It never lets us down. Do we have anybody in the room that believes that this morning? That the love of God will never fail you. It'll never give up on you. Thank you, Lord.
Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. And I never, ever had to be afraid. One thing remains. Oh, one thing remains. And your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
Church, the Bible tells us that we are persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nor death, no life, no angels in heaven, no demons in hell. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love that our God gives us. And I think one of the reasons that that's so important for us to remember, that's something that's so important for us to never forget, is because life and our decisions have a tendency to separate us, to make us feel like we're separated. You know, the definition of sin is to be separated, to miss the mark. And sometimes we just feel, God, I've done so much. I've messed up so many times. I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many intentional bad decisions. But can I encourage you this morning that there is nothing that you can do, that I can do, that life can do to us, that will separate us from the love of God. And that's something for us to be excited about. That's something for us to rejoice about, because there is a God who looks high, who sees high and looks low and knows all about us and still chooses to love us no matter what it is And that's so beautiful to know that in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. And my debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Listen, this is for me, that in death, Lord, in life, I'm confident and I'm covered by your power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Sing it, death and life.
Death and life.
I'm confident. I know sometimes you guys look at us and you see us smiling and you see us so jovial, and it's like, oh, they're just a worship team. They're supposed to do that, right? They're the ones that it's their job, right? This is what they asked to do. But can I let you guys in on a secret? The reality is, we sing these words with smiles because we remember a time when that was us. If we're being even more honest, some of us are still there. Sometimes we sing these songs in faith because if I'm being completely transparent with you guys this morning, there are some times where I don't believe that the love of God won't fail me. Can we be honest? I don't believe that the love of God will never run out. Sometimes I think there's a limit. Sometimes I think I've gone too far away where God is like, all right, Corey, that's it. You're on your own. Figure it out. And so sometimes we have to sing these songs in faith. Sometimes we have to sing these songs until they saturate our hearts and we believe the promises and the truth of the gospel that His love really will never fail us. And so this morning, I want you guys, because I feel like there's some of us in this room who really do believe that that the love of God has already abandoned us, that the love of God has already dried up on our lives. But can I remind you of something as we lift our hands all over this room? That His love will never fail you. And that His love is still reaching for you. And as your hands, thank you, Lord, as your hands are lifted this morning, you are reaching to your Father. When my niece, when she wants to be picked up by her mom or by her parents, she reaches up to signify, pick me up. I need you to reach down and grab me. So as our hands are lifted, Father, we are asking you to pick us up. Remind us of the love that will never fail. Remind us that you are for us and not against us. And these are not opinions that we have to have. This is not anything we have to be confused about, because your word promised these things. He promised that in death, in life, you're confident and covered by His power. And your debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate your heart. Can we sing that part out? In death and life.
In death and life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your grace.
Even when I don't see it, my debt is
paid.
As we were riding to church, I have a 10-year-old lawyer and I have a 7-year-old gamer. And as we listened to this song, I asked them, what is it to give God your heart? And the 10-year-old lawyer, she said, well, the dynamics of that is to trust in God and give Him everything that was not yours in the first place. The 7-year-old gamer said, well, I'm gonna give him my PlayStation. And I was like, Kyrie, why the PlayStation? Because that's my everything. That's what I love. That's what I spend most of my time on. And to me, it says, God, I will give you my all. I want to give you my heart, my time, my plans, my kids. I want to give it all to you.
Not looking for
perfection, and there's no need in me pretending, 'cause I'll give you everything, I'll give you everything. You deserve my full attention, nothing less than my devotion. Speak to me and I will listen, and I'll give you everything, I'll give you everything. Sing, oh, oh, you can have my heart,
you can
have my heart.
Sing, oh,
oh,
oh.
Selfish motive, and search me till there's nothing hidden, and I'll give you everything, I'll give you everything. Sing, oh.
You got it. my heart, you got it, you got it, you got it. You want my heart, you got it, you got it, you got it. If you want my yes, you got it, you got it, you got it. If you want my yes, Lord, you got it, you got it, you got it. If you want my all, you got it, you got it, you got it. If you want my all, Lord, you got it, you got it. Sing, oh, 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 oh.
Shot, you know, we don't trust family members, we don't trust friends, and why? Because people let us down, yeah? People disappoint us. And so it makes me think about, well, God, why would I trust you with my heart? People let me down. People break it. So what makes you different? And then, you know, the Holy Spirit took my mind to the book of Psalms when David was saying how there's nowhere we can go that can escape his presence. When we make our bed in the valley, he's there. When we wake up, he's there. He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. So here's the point I'm trying to make. Here's what I'm trying to get at. It's important that we trust the Lord with our hearts, because if we really think about it, where else can we go? Where else can we go? Who else can we confide in? Who else can we trust? We just said how people let us down. Well, people are a creation. So why not, instead of putting that same faith in a creation, put that same faith in the Creator, the one who already knew the end from the beginning, the one who already knew what we would do, what we would think, what we would say, the one who already knew us before we knew ourselves. Can I encourage you on something this morning? That the Lord our God is the best bet. That is the best investment. Trusting him with your heart, I understand it's not always easy. I understand it's not something that you always understand. But trust me when I tell you that trusting the Lord our God is your best investment. Because the reality is, he can't fail you. And the reality is, who else can do it better than him? Who else can love you better? Who else sees you in a greater way? Who else can see you for all your mess and all your mistakes and still see purpose and still see value and still see worth? Who else can see that other than the Lord? And here's the thing, the fact that nothing can separate us from his love, as we just discussed, the fact that nothing can separate us should be more of good. Why we should trust him. The Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he shall repent. So can I ask you something? Why is it that if this is a God that cannot sin, meaning he cannot sin against you, shouldn't he be the one you trust the most? Shouldn't he be the one you confide in? Church, he loves you so much. So much to where he gave his only son for you. Can I give you another tidbit that you may not have heard before? He wouldn't change a thing. So listen, we're gonna sing the chorus of that song one more time. And this time, as we lift it up, I want you to really surrender to God. Take this moment right now to surrender your heart to Him, trusting that even when you don't understand it, you still believe that His ways are higher than yours. You still believe that His thoughts aren't yours. And I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's not something that is easy to do. But I've learned that when you make one step, God will make two. So as we go back into that chorus, can you lift it up with us this morning? Hands lifted all over the room. God, we give you our hearts. God, we surrender it back to you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thoughts are greater than ours. God, we surrender our hearts this morning. God, some of us are giving you a broken heart. Some of us are giving you a wounded heart. Some of us are giving you a shattered heart. But God, whatever it is that we're surrendering to you this morning, Father, we trust that in your hands it will be healed. In your hands it'll be whole. In your hands you'll restore the years that we feel that we've lost in tears, God. In your hands we are covered. In your hands we are taken care of. In your hands we know that we can do all things through you, God. In your hands, we are safe. In your hands, we are healed. God, we thank you that we can surrender our hearts to you and you don't forsake us. God, thank you that you see through our sin. Yes, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit permeates us, God, to where we don't have to feel afraid. We don't have to feel alone. We don't have to feel abandoned because you are with us. So this morning, God, we surrender. We give you our heart, we give you our soul, we give you our emotions, we give you our minds, because with you, they're in the best hands. We thank you, God. Now, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Church, if you believe that this morning, can we just give God a praise? Oh no, that's good for the songs, but can we really lift up the name of Jesus? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated this morning. Amen, amen. Well, good morning, good morning. Okay, we're gonna give that one another go. Good morning. Yeah, praise our God. Y'all are awake. Glory. Listen, on behalf of our lead pastors, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy Phillips, thank you for coming to worship with us here at the Carpenter Shop this morning. For those of you watching online, we love you. We thank God for you. We believe that the Lord has a word that is just for all of us and that is going to push us toward our purpose, push us toward His glory, push us toward all the things that He would have for us. Amen. Amen. You know what? You know what's crazy to me? Y'all already know I'm going to talk until y'all respond, right? Like, we've been over this. So the fact that we just have to keep going back is crazy to me. But no, listen, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. And now we're going to move into a part of our worship service that we all can participate in, which is our giving. That was a part four. Praise God. Praise our Lord. Listen, and here's why giving is something for all of us to be excited about, something that we all can look forward to, is because when we build the kingdom of God, when we build his house, he builds ours. Yeah. And I know what some are thinking, you know, well, we shouldn't give just to expect God to do for us. You're absolutely correct. But the part of God that love, the part of his love, the part of him being a generous and gracious father, is that he gives good gifts, and gifts are things that we don't earn. And so our giving is just a way of saying, Lord, thank you. I know this is nothing in comparison to what you give me. I know this is nothing in comparison to all the things you've done and all the ways you've made. But at the very least, my reasonable service is to give back to you. Give back our hearts. And here's the thing. Giving is a part of worship. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is not just dancing to the Lord. Worship is an action verb. It's an action word. It's a verb. It's something that we should do in every part of our lives. We worship when we love the people beside us. We worship when we love the people who don't like us. We worship when we're generous. All of these are various ways that we worship. And so this morning, as you give unto the Lord, don't allow it to just be something that you do, a part of a church practice that we've all grown up on. Do it from your heart, yeah? And believe that as you build the kingdom of God, he's building your house. He's building whatever it is that you're believing him for. So, Father, God, we thank you for everybody. We thank you for those who have a desire to give and may not be able to. God, we thank you for those who are going to come and give. God, I believe that every household represented, you are going to bless tenfold, because your word says that if we give to you, you'll give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God, we thank you for the overflow that is about to take place. We thank you for the overflow that is represented here today. God, we thank you for the overflow online. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You can go ahead and come to the front and give. There's also ways to give on the screen.
I love how the song starts. It says this. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being. God, we believe, yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. It says bodies are still being raised. Yes, they are. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. We can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Come on and release that with me. We are here for you. Come and set our hearts, set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need a move. Yeah, we need a move.
miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Come on and help me sing. Miracles.
Miracles.
Come on, give God praise. Come on, stand up on your feet and give God praise. Come on, let's adore Him in this place, all over this room. Let's begin to open up our mouth and just tell Him, God, you're good. God, you're amazing. Lord, we love you today. We thank you so much, God. We thank you for who you are, the way that you move in us, God. We need a move today. We're hungry for you, Lord. We're thirsty for you. We're asking for a move. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, do you appreciate this worship team? Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. Pastor Wallace is away, getting some rest and relaxation. Pastor is on vacation, but he's, you know what? Even when he goes on vacation, he's still ministering. And so I believe today he's preaching in the Outer Banks. And so, Pastor Wallace, we love and we appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak today. And I'm so glad that every one of us is here today. I believe that God has something special for us today. And it's a joy to be able to get to bring the Word. Come on, are you thankful for the Word of God today? Jesus, Jesus. Can we just lift our hands for just a moment? I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to release a fresh anointing right now. I believe that He wants to move in us. I believe that some of us are going to experience an increase in faith today. I believe that some of us today are going to experience a fresh revelation of where God wants us to be. So just begin to ask Him right now. Say, Father, release fresh vision to me. Begin to ask Him in your own way. Father, release faith to me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, would you begin to just pray in the Spirit? Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, I don't hear you. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Let's open up our mouths and begin to charge our spirit with the power of God. Jesus, Jesus, come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. God, we thank you for getting us on the right track. Lord, we thank you for setting us on the path that you have for us. Oh, Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, move like a wave. Come, Holy Spirit, move, 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 move all over this place. Serro sanda razzada da barrashanda babarrazzanda razzanda lalaye. Eshkoro sanda randa da da. Come on, draw on heaven. Sheda la 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 barrazzada da da ye. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Do you feel that? Do you feel the Lord? Come on, let's give God praise. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Today, we are continuing our series on monumental faith. Monumental faith. What is faith? What is faith? What is faith? Faith. Faith is what you did this morning. Some of you took an act of faith today and you didn't even realize it. You said, I believe that Carpenter Shop International Church, at 10 o'clock this morning, at 903 South Catherine Creek Road, that Carpenter Shop was going to gather together and have a service. And you said, based on what I've seen and what I have heard, based on the reputation of the church, I can trust that because they said they were going to gather and have worship today, that it was going to happen. You took an act of faith. Because you believed something, you got out of bed, you got dressed, and you came here, and you trusted that when you got here, the lights would be on, the doors would be unlocked, that the volunteers would be in place, that the security would be doing their thing, that the greeters would meet you at the door, that the worship team would be on stage, and that someone would bring a word of the Lord. You took an act of faith. Based on what you saw and what you heard, based on the word that somebody said. Faith is always based on a word. Faith is always based on something. You don't just put your faith in something for no reason, but there's something that convinces you. There's something that persuades you to believe the thing that you believe. And so the word of God is what influences our faith. The Bible is what tells us what we believe, and so we put our faith in that, and it causes us to do things. In the book of James, it says that if you say to a person, may God bless you, may God provide for your needs, may God help you, and then you don't actually go and help that person, then your faith is actually dead. It's not really faith because it's not accomplishing anything. And so when you have faith in something, you actually do something. And so what you did was you got in your car and you drove, you got on the road and you came here. You followed a path that was led by faith. Faith leads you somewhere. Faith puts you on a path that causes you to move. And so we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We get on a journey called the Christian life that we walk by faith. We are led by faith. And faith is a response to a word from the Lord that triggers obedience. It triggers obedience. Sometimes we do something and we think that we're being obedient to the Lord, but it's actually not led by faith. It's not actually a response to a revelation from heaven. It's not actually a response to a word from the Lord. And we can pass up an opportunity and think that we're saying no to that opportunity because we're being obedient, but really we're just afraid. Or maybe we're getting ready to do some difficult thing that we think is very holy, and it seems like the right thing to do, and it seems like what we should do, and we can even put religious language around it, and we're getting ready to do this thing, but it's not, and we call it obedience, but it's not actually obedience. Because doing something that is not based on the word of the Lord, that is in contrast to the will of God, is not obedience, but it's actually disobedience. If you are getting ready to operate in faith, what you think is faith, but you don't have a word from the Lord that is backing up that faith, then what you're doing is not obedience. It's disobedience. It's awfully quiet right now. Am I at Carpenter Shop International Church? Where am I today? Come on, come on. Let's give God a hand of praise. And so we want to walk in obedience. And in order to walk in obedience, we have to walk the road led by faith. And in order to walk the road led by faith, we have to have something to put our faith in. And the thing that we put our faith in is the Word of God. We need a revelation from heaven if we want to walk by faith. And if we walk by faith, then it means that we're going somewhere. It means that we have a destination in mind. It means that there is a place that we want to arrive at. If you were going to plan a vacation, we're getting to that time of year. It's getting close, and maybe some of you are already thinking about what it is that you're going to do. And maybe you're imagining a trip, and you say, oh, I'm going to go and relax, I'm going to put my feet up, I'm going to spend time with my family, we're just going to shoot the breeze, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and you have this trip in mind, and you make all the preparations, you go and you pack your bags, You fill your car with gas. You get ready, and you're excited. You're going on a trip. And the kids are all excited, and your family's excited, and you get in the car, and you're sitting there, and you're behind the wheel, and then all of a sudden you say, where are we going? What's the address? Well, you're not going anywhere because you don't have a destination in mind. If you don't know the address to put in your GPS, it's not going to take you anywhere. And you will get on the road, and you won't know where to go. And you'll wonder until you figure out exactly where it is that you want to go so that you can put that in your navigation system. Is this making sense? Do you know, when Israel was held captive by Egypt for 400 years, when they were bound by slavery, and God finally, after 400 long years, set them free, He released them, and He gave them a word. He gave them a promise. He said, I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. He said that I'm going to put you in a place where you are blessed. I'm going to put you in a place where you can enjoy freedom and autonomy. And you can be a people unto me. You can be a people for my name's sake. And he said, I am going to bring you into this. In fact, he gave them a vision. He gave them a destination. But you know what? They didn't come into alignment with that vision. Even though they had a word from the Lord, they didn't put their faith in what God said. And do you know the journey that should have taken them 11 days, just 11 days, took them 40 long years. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Because they had not come into alignment with God's vision. They had not set their faith on the word of the Lord. And so they walked in disobedience. And they wandered in circles. They wandered around for 40 years. Some of us are wandering in circles because we don't have a destination in mind. We don't have a vision. We're not following the will of the Lord. We're not tuned in to the frequency of the voice of God that is telling us where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. You have to have a vision if you want to walk the walk. If you want to actually live the life that God has called you to live and be a representative of heaven on earth, you have to see heaven in your mind. Because you cannot represent around you what you do not see within you. You cannot be an ambassador for the kingdom if the king is not forefront in your mind. You have to know what God is saying to you. You have to have a vision. And you have to come into alignment with the vision of the community, with the vision of the house. You see, Moses was walking with the Lord. Moses was full of faith. Joshua was full of faith. Caleb was full of faith. But the majority of the community was not. And so it held the community back. When we come into alignment with the vision of the church, when we come into alignment as a community with what God wants to do, then we can make strides toward establishing the kingdom here in our community. If I were to ask you, what's the mission and the vision of Carpenter Shop Church? Could you answer that question? Could you answer that question? I believe we do a fairly good job of quoting our vision. And we have a shorthand for it that I'm pretty sure most of us in this room could say. Come on, can we say it together? Love, win, build, send. Pray, oh, come on, give yourselves a hand for that one. That was amazing. Most churches can't do that. Most churches can't do that. The vision of the church, and we've made it easy. We've rolled the mission and the vision all into one nice little statement. We're a multicultural, multi-generational body of believers whose mission is to love the lost, build them up in discipleship, love, win, build, send them out into their divine destiny. Come on. We believe that God has a plan for us. We want to love all people, build them up, win them to Christ, and send them out. We trust that God is moving in our community, and we come into alignment with that vision. We come into alignment because when we believe that, we can actually do what God has called us to do. Come on, do you believe that today? And you not only need a vision, need to come into alignment with the vision of the community, you need to have a vision for your life. You need to have a vision for your own life. What is it that God's calling you to do? And when you find that calling that God has for you, and you begin to step into that, and you begin to leave behind the things that you had planned, and you begin to walk in the things that God has planned for you, you find where you overlap. Your vision, the vision that God has for your life, overlaps with the vision of the community. And in that way, you find your place where God has called you to serve. You begin to apply the gifts and the talents that He's given you. And some of us would say, oh, I don't have any talents. I'm not special. I don't have a gift. And we make up excuses and oh me and oh my, and well, you know, if only God could use me. And we talk ourselves out of what God wants to do in our lives. And we don't put faith in who God says that we are. But God wants to use each and every one of us. God wants to use us. And so if we will latch on to who He says we are, then we can step out in confidence, in faith, and walk in obedience. And we not only, if we're going to walk the road of faith, if we're going to walk the walk, we not only need a destination, but we need to have the origin in mind. We have to not only know where we're going to, but where we're coming from. Because if you forget where you're coming from, you can never truly arrive at the place that you're going to. Even a GPS needs to know your point of origin. In fact, if your location settings are turned off on your phone, you're going to get an error message. And it's going to tell you, we don't know where you are. Please turn on your location so that we can give you directions to get there. Because in order to get where you're going, the GPS needs to give you steps of where you're coming from. And if we want to walk the walk of faith, and we want the steps to get us where we need to go, we have to remember what God has brought us from. We have to remember what He rescued us from. Because every one of us has a testimony. Every one of us has a story. God has rescued you from some situation. And I believe that some of you, God wants to rescue today. Many of us today, we can say, the reason that you're seated in this pew right now is because God has done something for you. If He hasn't done anything else but give you air to breathe and food in your belly and put you in this seat this morning, He's done something for you. God has blessed you. Come on, give Him praise. God has blessed you. He's taken the first step. He came all the way from heaven to earth, gave His life for us. He's reached out to us, and He stands with open arms, beckoning us to come to Him, to receive His love. And so every one of us can say that we've come from some place, that He's picked us up out of the miry clay, that He's lifted us from the pit, that He's gotten us out of a sticky situation, that He rescued us from something when we didn't know what we were going to do. Come on, give Him praise. When we didn't know what we were going to do, He lifted us up and He set our feet on firm ground. We have a testimony. We have a testimony. And some of us have come out of difficult situations. And even if you've grown up, even if you were blessed like me to grow up in a good home and to know the love of your parents and to live a life that demonstrated God's faithfulness, that's your testimony. That faithfulness of God is your testimony. God is faithful. He's faithful. And He sees us through it all. We need Him, and we have to remember what He's done for us. Because if you forget what God has done for you, then you begin to forget who He is. And if you forget who He is, then you will never end up in the place where He's calling you to go. The Christian life is not about just keeping obligations to a religious system. It's not about laws. It's not about what we think we have to do and what we shouldn't do. It's not about keeping rituals and living a life that is led by what we feel like we have to do. And sometimes we get that impression, we get that misunderstanding of Christianity because we lose sight of who God really is, and we begin to substitute the action, we begin to substitute the law, we begin to substitute things, routines, habits for the presence of God. It's so easy to step into a church building and to sing a song and to stand up, sit down, listen to a sermon and leave, and to go through the motions and think that you've done something. You think you've done something. But if you haven't communed with the Father and let the Word begin to transform your heart and begun to step out and allow that to make a difference in the way that you live, and if you haven't experienced God's love in a way that moves you and that satisfies you and feeds you and fills you with joy and with peace and with thanksgiving, if you haven't tasted and seen that God is good, then you haven't experienced God. You're living under obligation and not in relationship with who He is. We need the Lord. The Christian life is about relationship with God. And the things that we do are an overflow of that relationship. We come to church because we love Him. We sing because we're joyful. We thank Him because of what He's done for us. We live a life that's holy because He's given us holiness. He's made us righteous. It's an overflow of who He is. And so we remember who He is and what He's done, and that fuels us, it pushes us, it keeps us going on the road, because without that, you will lose your motivation to keep going. You'll burn out and you'll run out of gas if you don't remember where you're coming from. Because the place that you're coming from helps you to remember that you've got somewhere to go to. That there's something even better in front of you. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. And He has a path for you to walk. And we want to walk the walk by faith. We have to know where we're going. We have to know where we're coming from. And we have to know who is walking with us. We have to know the Father. We have to be walking in relationship with Jesus. And we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who keeps us on track. He's the one who says, go left, go right, go straight, wait, stop. He shows us when and where to move and how to do it. And we put our faith in Him because of who He is. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need the body of believers. We need the community. We walk this walk together. That's why we're seated here on a Sunday morning. Because God has given us the gift of each other so that we can support one another and encourage one another, keep one another accountable on this walk that we walk. We walk by faith. And if you want to stay the course, if you want to stay motivated, you have to cultivate that Word of God that's in you, the Word that He placed in you when He rescued you, the Word that He gave you when He saved you, the Word that He gives you as you walk in relationship with Him. It's like a seed that gets planted inside of you, and it's deep and it takes root. And that thing that you carry, that Word that you carry, that seed becomes the compass that guides you on your road, that guides you in your Christian walk. Because you're listening to the Holy Spirit and He's planting the seed within you. He's putting the Word in you. He's cultivating something in you, and that thing causes you to walk and to go and to move, and you know when and where to go. There's a Word inside of you. You need the Word inside of you. And I want to talk a little bit about that Word today. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13? I figure I better open up the scriptures so that we can say we had church. I want to show this to you in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. It says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom in verse 18 and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. For some of us, when that seed, when that word is planted within us, our rock can be like the dirt along the path. It can be, if we're not careful, to hold on to what God did in us and what he's given us and what he's said to us, it's so easy to allow the enemy to come and snatch away that thing. It's so easy to allow things to distract us from what God has said. It's so easy. Because if we don't have understanding of the word, if we haven't taken that word and begin to chew on it and go over it in our minds and begin to think about how do we apply this in our lives, you know, we come here every Sunday morning and we hear the word, but if we don't actually take that and take it into our own prayer time and think about it throughout the week, and dig into that scripture that was studied on Sunday morning, and we don't wrap our understanding around the word and figure out how to implement it in our lives, then the enemy will come and he'll take that thing and you'll forget it just as quickly as you heard it. It's like seed thrown along the path. This is something that I thought about a lot as a youth pastor, because I am very aware that when our young people go off to college, that there will be, that the enemy will come in the form of professors, in the form of textbooks, in the form of bad influences from peers, and he will try to snatch away the word that has been given to them if that word has not taken root inside. It's so easy for someone to if we don't have a strong understanding of the word, to cause doubt to enter our minds and say, did God really create the earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh? Did Jesus really die on the cross? Did he really come to, did he actually rise on the third day? Did that really happen? And if we don't have an answer, if we don't have an understanding of the word, then we won't be able to respond with understanding in a way that allows us to hold on to that thing. And we will be shifted by doubt. It's so easy for doubt to creep in and for when the questions come, for the enemy to just take that word. It's so important to study this book and to know who God says he is and who he says we are. And to have it deep within us, we need to understand the word. And this is not to say that we'll always understand everything. I want to be clear about that. But there is an understanding we can have of the kingdom, an understanding that keeps us firm on the ground so that we can continue to advance and make progress in this Christian walk. Amen? Do you believe it? Yes. Hallelujah. 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 We need to have an understanding of the Word and to continue to meditate on what God has said to us. And then some of us have hearts that are like dirt among rocks, rocky ground. Rocky soil. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, he immediately falls away. And so we can receive that word with joy, and we get so excited that we've given our lives to God, and this is something special that he's doing in us, and we've said yes to God, and we get on the right path, and we let go of the old ways, and we're living holy, and we're in the community, and then all of a sudden we lose our job. All of a sudden somebody gets sick. All of a sudden life gets tough. And the trial comes, and we lose our trust in God. And we lose our faith in who he says he is. And we let the tribulation begin to take away what God has done in us. As soon as it gets tough, as soon as the wind begins to blow, it just blows us over because we haven't taken root in the ground of who God is. We have to be firmly planted in him. It's like being connected, just like a tree planted by streams of living water, that your root takes root in the soil that's fed by the nourishment of the Spirit of God, the water of heaven, the life-giving presence of God, that when you're connected to it, it doesn't matter how strong the wind blows, it's not going to blow you over. That you know who God says he is, that it doesn't matter what the enemy says to you, that because you've experienced him, because you've received from him, because you're drawing on his presence, because you're receiving life and joy and faith from him, it doesn't matter what comes against you, you're firm. You're firm. You're planted. Nothing can overtake you. And we know that it doesn't matter what the enemy throws against us, that we can draw on him. And as those things come, as the wind blows, we're connected and we're continuing to receive. We're continuing to be blessed by him. We're continuing to trust in the word. And some of us have, if we're not careful, will have hearts that are like soil among thorns. And we'll let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke that word. And we can't grow and produce fruit because we're so worried about other things. We're distracted by other things. We're chasing after some dream, or we're chasing after money, or we're trying to do something that has nothing to do with what God has really called us to do. And we get on the rat race, and we're trying to get ahead, and we want to go to this place and go to that place and get this job, and we want to do this thing, and we want to build this house, and God says, if you're not building my house, then what are you doing? You are busy building your own houses, and you've neglected my house. And we get on this mode of focusing on ourselves instead of focusing on God and his kingdom, and building his house, and his vision. And we get so far from the path that God has us on that we're just completely detoured on something else. We're walking that Christian walk, but we've gotten so far off course, we're just taking the scenic route. And it's going to take us 40 years to do what should have taken 11 days. Am I preaching to somebody? Don't let the thorns, the cares of this world, the ambitions and the things of this world, relationships and people and things that you're pursuing after and all those things, don't let them distract you and choke the seed that God has given you. There is, because the seed produces a plant. It doesn't just stay in the ground. It produces a tree that produces fruit. And some of you are not seeing the fruitfulness of God in your lives because you're busy chasing after other things. If you want to see fruit in your life, you have to be connected. You have to be rooted to the presence of God. Cultivating that seed, cultivating that word, receiving from Him, trusting who He is, and trusting who He's called you to be. That in a way that causes you to step out, to not just stay where you are, but to take a step forward and walk by faith. Are we getting this? Is God speaking to you? Rico, would you come back to the keyboard? I want to quickly take us to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Would you stand to your feet? If you want to walk this walk in a way that produces fruit, if you want to be able to say at the end of your life, like Paul, I've run the race. If you want to be able to say that I was faithful to Him, then we have to know where we're going, know where we're coming from, and know who's walking with us. And we do that by cultivating the testimony, the word, the seed within us in a way that produces faithfulness. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." And then Paul says something concerning. He says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me." Demas didn't have the word firmly planted in his heart. He didn't cultivate that seed. He didn't let his heart be good soil that would produce fruit. Demas let the cares of this world choke the fruit, choke the plant, choke the seed. But Paul gave his life as a drink offering. Pour it out. Can you imagine your very being, your life being poured out before the Lord? Completely turned upside down until every last drop, everything that you have to give, all that you are, is given to Him. That we held nothing back, that we gave it all to the Lord. Can you imagine that? Giving yourself to Him so that you can say, "I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." If you want to be faithful to the Lord, you have to walk by faith. Worship team, would you come? Because without faith, you cannot have faithfulness. Faithfulness, a commitment to God, a commitment to the things of God, a commitment to the Christian life, is dependent on faith. Because faith comes from a word of God that leads us into obedience, that sets us on a path that we walk. We think that it's so difficult to be faithful to God. And we say, "Oh, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I'll never get it right. Oh, I'm always going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes." And well, I mean, that's kind of true. It's kind of true. it's somewhat true, right? But you know what? It's not dependent on you. And the Bible says that when we are weak, He is strong. And His grace is made perfect in our weakness. And so we are not dependent on ourselves, on our own righteousness, but we are dependent on the grace of God. We are dependent on His faithfulness. Because when we are faithless, He is faithful. His faithfulness is constant. It's consistent. It never changes. Doesn't matter how bad you mess up. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how far you stray. Doesn't matter what sin you commit. God is faithful. And if we confess our sins to Him, if we repent, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Some of you, God is calling back to Himself today. Could I have our prayer ministers? Some of you is calling, God is calling back to Himself today. I feel the anointing moving right now. If you need to make a commitment to the Lord today, if you need to receive salvation from heaven today, if you're saying right now, God, I don't want to walk this path that I've been on. I don't want to live my own way anymore. I don't want to depend on my own strength. I want to give my life to You. If that's you, I invite you to come forward right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't let fear steal the seed that God has placed in your heart this morning. I believe there's somebody here. Saints, would you begin to pray? Would you begin to close your eyes and pray? Don't wait. If you want to get your life right with God today, this is the moment. There are people here ready to pray with you, ready to pray for you. It's so much better when we turn our life over to Him. It's so much better. Oh, it's so much better. He does things that we could never do on our own. He blesses us more than we could ever bless ourselves. He turns our lives around in ways that we could never imagine.
Yes,
don't wait. If that's for you, come forward.
Yes,
if you need salvation today, make your way down right now. Come, 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 come. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for moving in this room right now. God, we thank You for touching hearts right now. God, we thank You for salvations right now. Lord, we thank You for setting us free right now from addictions. God, we thank You for setting us free from self-dependence. God, we thank You for healing us from emotional wounds right now. Now, some of you, there's something you need to let go of today. You've been trusting yourself. If that's you, I want to invite you forward right now. Come down to this altar. If you want someone to agree with you, to let go of the thing you've been depending on and to trust God so that you can move forward, come to this altar right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Continue to pray. Continue to worship. If you have any need at all this morning, these altars are open and we welcome you to come. If you need healing in your body, if you need someone to agree with you about a family situation, if you need deliverance, if you need God to intervene in your life, come and receive prayer right now.
All things
Come on, let's worship Him. Those of us that are at our seats, let's worship. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to surrender right where we are. Just receive God right now. Receive His touch right now. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it. Sing it.
All things new.
Thank you.
have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
No turning back.
See, I have decided.
Who knows us the way you do? You've seen it all. and you know it all, Lord. You see it all, Lord Jesus. And so we trust in your vision today. We trust in your plan today. We trust in your will today. God, would you help us, Lord? Would you help us? As we go from this place, would you help us, Lord, to walk the walk, to follow the path that you've laid out for us? Resisting the enemy, resisting the distractions, the cares of the world, trusting you even through trial and tribulation and persecution, growing and increasing in understanding of who you are and the vision that you've given us and the word that you've given us. Lord, let us be good ground, good soil, trusting in you and producing fruit. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. May the Lord keep you and go with you. Praise God.